get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words. And we thank you, Lord, that we can gather together still in this country and hear them preached and hear them taught and hear songs sung to you, Lord. And what a blessing that is. And Father, we pray now that you would just open our eyes and open our hearts to your words today. And we pray for those that are traveling this morning that you would just give them grace to get here safely, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 12. So I took off my wedding ring, right? Put it in a drawer because I was working on these cars. And I forgot to put it back on again. This is the second week in a row. But anyway, I won't let that happen again. Chapter 12. We'll go ahead and read verse 1. We finished up talking about the servant, being a servant, and how we're to be a servant for Jesus Christ. And now we're going into chapter 12. And the Bible says, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Now, folks, I doubt those disciples fasted 40 days, right? Jesus fasted 40 days and then was 100, right? And these guys are hungry. The Bible says they're hungry here. Now, this is a turning point. This chapter is a turning point of Matthew in for the Israel dispensationally in Matthew. Verse 1 to 13 pictures the first coming with the kingdom signs. With kingdom signs offered to Israel. Verse 14 through 21 shows the rejection of those signs and the Messiah and the turning to the Gentiles. The word till in verse 20, Bible says in verse 20, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench till he send forth judgment unto victory. And that word is very important. That word, it should reference, be a reference to the fullness of the Gentiles, till the fullness of the Gentiles be brought in. We all remember that word, right? That's when the Lord then picks up his dealings with Israel again. And in Romans 11:25, that's found in Romans 11:25. And Romans shows that judgment is brought on Israel after the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Because, of course, God doesn't pick up his dealings with that nation corporately until that happens, until the Gentiles are pulled out. Verse 22 and 23 pictures blind Israel being restored, and then there'll be some confessing Jews there, and that's confessing Jews in Satan's kingdom. And that's verse 24 through 28. Verse 24, 28 through 46 will picture the last half of the tribulation. Verse 40 to 42 pictures the judgment of the nations. It's going to picture the judgment of the nations and the apostate Jews. And so chapter 12, it prophetically speaks of Israel's rejection and then the turning to the Gentiles until the tribulation, and then Jesus gets rid of the dross, right? Those unbelieving Jews. He's going to get rid of them. He's there. He's purging that nation. He's heating it up, putting it through the furnace, a literal hell on earth, and it's heating up. And the good's gonna be saved, and the bad's gonna be thrown away. And that's what he's doing here. Those are the apostate Jews. And then he's gonna heal blind Israel. He heals them, and some of them confess. And that's during Satan's kingdom on earth. That's during the trib. So in chapter 12, you have the condemnation of Israel. The nation rejects him strongly here in this chapter. And so Jesus comes down on them strongly. And the number 12 is it's indicative of the nation of Israel. As you know, there's 12 tribes of Israel. And so this is their chapter. So we'll go ahead and start in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through on the Sabbath day. Went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And his disciples weren't hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And so Jesus is, he's going out of his way here. He's going to go out of his way to set that Jew off. And you're going to see that. When somebody is turned against him, when somebody's turned against Jesus, he'll do everything he can to harden that person's heart. Look at Pharaoh. Right? Kept sending them plague after plague after plague after plague after plague. Yep. I think so. If you reject the gospel, you're not getting any more light, right? You won't get anything else until you reject or until you to receive. He's not going to show you anything else. And those that have hardened their hearts against God, when they go to hell, they're going to stay hard. They're going to still be hard in hell against God. But I do. I believe he does that now. He keeps doing that. I mean, it's shown throughout the Bible here. And they keep getting harder and harder and harder. And then he's got to beat them and beat them and beat them until they're soft again, right? So, don't you think that Jesus knows that that Jew reverences the Sabbath day? He reverences that Sabbath day to the uttermost extreme? Jesus knows that when he's going there, he's going through that corn that day. I mean, and so he knows he's going to set these people off when he does what he's going to do. Jesus knows to that Jew, it's more important to keep the Sabbath day than it is to do right. That's what they're caught up on. But did the Jew keep the Sabbath of years? Think about that one. Right? When Jesus, when the disciples were asked him about how many times they should forgive their brother, and he says, seven times 70. That's 490 years. That's 490 times. Or 490 years. They didn't keep the Sabbath of years. And that's why that land was in a mess. They put more emphasis, this Jew puts more emphasis on doing no work on the Sabbath than helping people. And so Jesus has a way of exposing people's hearts. And don't you think he'll expose all of us? He'll expose our hearts. Jesus wants us, our hearts, to get right so we can have a more of abundant life, right, with him. For his sake. And so he's about to show this Jew here that they're more hung up on the legalities of the law than the mercies that are involved in righteousness. And that's what he's getting ready to do. And so the first time that Sabbath appears in the Bible is in Exodus 16:23. If you'll turn there. Exodus 16:23. The Bible says in verse 23, we'll start in verse 22. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake, now watch, bake that which ye will bake today. And seethe that which ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And so they're cooking the day before, right? They're gathering and cooking the day before. That's the first time it's mentioned, Sabbath. Or, yeah, the word. And so the Lord didn't forbid them to eat, right? He told them they could eat. But he just told them you're not to cook it on the day of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a sign to the Jew. It's a sign to the Jew. Go turn a couple pages, Exodus 31:13. Exodus 31:13. It's a sign. And it's about the kingdom. Exodus 31:13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Right? And so it's a sign. Who is it for? Israel. Right? And in the Old Testament, if you converted to Israelism or Judaism, right? You became a proselyte Jew, and then you would keep the Sabbath. But it's not for the Gentiles. It's for the Jew. And when you became a Jewish proselyte, that's when you converted, then you would follow the Jewish things. And so it's about the kingdom. It's that's found in Genesis 2:3. 2:3. Genesis 2:3. Yeah, Genesis 2:3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. And so the Sabbath is about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, right? It's on the king. It's during the kingdom of heaven that he's instituted this day. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Peter, 2 Peter 3:8. And look at this thing about this kingdom here. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years. As one day. And so God created the earth, the kingdom of heaven, the literal physical kingdom, and he put Lucifer in charge of it. That's what he originally did. Put Lucifer in charge. Then Lucifer was lifted up in pride, and he wanted to be like God and exalt himself above God, right? He falls. So the earth is darkness and void, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then so God, he doesn't create anything void, without form and void, right? That happened after the fall of Lucifer. And so he creates Adam and puts Adam in charge of the kingdom of heaven. And here's Lucifer, still on the earth, comes up and says, "Ooh, I want my kingdom back. How do I get it back?" Right? So he gets Adam to sin, and then he takes the kingdom back. And that's how that happened. And so Adam was in charge at one time, and then he fell. Now, God gave that Jew the sign of the Sabbath to show them that as the Lord rested on the seventh day, that so shall Israel rest on the seventh day. And that's part of their sanctification, and it's part of their separation, and that's a day with as a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and so after 6,000 years, folks, after 6,000 years of time on this earth, there's going to be a rest, and the Lord will have another rest where that Jew will be disease free, right? He'll have no disease. They'll have food. They'll have no devil. The earth will be at rest. And that'll be for 1,000 years. The Lord rested on one day. He's going to rest 1,000 years. And that's what that verse is talking about. In the millennium, that Jew will be cleaned up. He'll be cleaned up. And that's their sanctification. Their 1,000 years, they'll be clean. Then the devil, of course, will be released, and those that didn't have any faith, right? And the Lord's on the earth, and if the Lord's talking, and they're not listening, they're not hearing his words. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? And so they don't have any faith. When the devil's released, they're going to be deceived because they didn't have any faith in the word of God. And the Lord is on the earth and you can see him, and they still don't have faith in him. And so this Sabbath, folks, it was never meant to be kept by the Gentile. Of course, once they converted to Judaism, then yeah, they could do that. Go with me, if you would, to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 7. This shows the rest, that the earth will be at rest for 1,000 years. Isaiah 14, 7. The Bible says, chapter 14, verse 7. We'll start in verse 4. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. When he's going to come back, he's going to take the earth back. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath will continually stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. There's no more wars. There's no more nothing. The devil is gone. It's at rest. They break forth into singing, and everybody's going to sing. You got no more oppressor. Now this word, go back if you would to Matthew. Matthew 12. They were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. The word corn is sometimes used in a general term in the Bible. If you would, look in John 12. John 12. 24. And we've all heard all this stuff before, and it's good just to keep going over it and just for memory. You know, we're forgetful people. That's why God wrote these words in a book, so we couldn't forget. We'd have somewhere to go back to, and he keeps giving it to us over and over and over again. And it's a blessing that we have that. But John 12, 24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And so here in John 12, 24, it's used describing a kernel of wheat. And so corn, it could be wheat, right? And what you have, folks, and it's good to know this. It's good to know this because you're going to have people, scholars, highly educated people in this world, right? And they're going to say there was no ears of corn back in those days in Egypt. And so the Bible needs to change its words, and it needs to say, it needs to be a kernel of grain. We can't say that it's corn in the Bible. We got to say that it's grain, because people will get messed up in their heads and think that they had corn back in the Egyptians' days, right? And we all know that it was unknown in Egypt and Palestine. We all know that. But you guys, you don't know that because you got the King James Bible, and in there it says corn. Well, they don't read their Bible. They don't read, and if they read, they're like the Jews, and they don't perceive. Look, if you would, to Genesis 41. Give God the benefit of the doubt here, right? Genesis 41, verse 5. The Bible says, and the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, seven ears of corn, right? What is the Genesis 1? hey, all the seeds that we have on earth, they're after their own kind, right? And there's no ears of corn on this earth. There's no ears of corn in Egypt. The Bible says right here, it's an ear of corn, right? And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, seven ears of corn came up on one stalk. What do we call that here? It's a stalk, a corn stalk. We got ears on a corn stalk. It's the same today as it was back way back then. Look, if you would, in Mark. Mark 4. What do we have here? There's another one. Mark 4, 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, and if any man shall cast seed into the ground, and shall sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring and grow up, he knoweth not. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, you got the blade, a blade of corn, right, a blade on a stalk, then the ear, and the full corn in the ear. Okay. And so the scholars say, well, that's got to be it's got to be an ear of grain. It can't be an ear of corn. And so they keep going on and on and on and on and saying the corn wasn't here. And you, it's good to know this stuff. Hey, the Lord says it could be an ear of corn. It could be a corn of wheat. It could be any type of grain in there. Right? But that's not for us to say, well, the Bible shouldn't say corn because there was no such thing. Where did the Bible get the word? Where did Jesus get the word? How did it get in the Bible? So it's got to be there. And it's just common sense. You could reason through some of these things. And if you go to 2 Samuel, let's look in 2 Samuel. You'll see that they could be different. 2 Samuel 17. Let's see what I mean. Verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou now hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down. Am I in the right verse? Which one am I in? Verse 17? Oh, I'm in 1 Samuel. Verse 28. Yeah, there we go. Verse 27, and it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash, and of Rahab, or Rabbah, of the children of Ammon and Micah, I should have just started in 28, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn. So here you have a kernel of wheat, a corn of wheat in the New Testament, and then you have here the Bible differentiating between wheat and corn. And that's something. And so they could be two different things. They could be the same and two different. Yes? Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Bible references, it could be a corn of wheat, and it could be a kernel of corn. Right. Right. But then you have the scholars that say, oh, it can't be corn because there was no such thing as corn in Egypt. Yeah. Or how does seeds get Yeah, right. Or the ducks that got in their ducks, the ducks were eating the corn in there and it got in their feathers and they flew all the way over to Egypt and but anyway, let's go back to Matthew. We had enough fun. Verse 2, or began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. There's no law in the Bible that forbids them to do this, forbids them to do what they're doing. They're referring to their law, right? Their traditions, their made-up laws that they've devised on who's righteous and who's not. That's the Pharisees. Notice they didn't have anything to say about them taking another person's corn. I mean, that's something. And it was lawful for them to do that. Nowadays, they want every last seed in the bushel so they can get every last dime. But before, they used to leave up rows for people that were hungry, and they could come through and grab whatever they needed to eat there. These are the works of necessities. They're lawful, folks, on the Sabbath day. That's what Jesus is going to show them. The works of necessities. If you're hungry, you can eat something on the Sabbath, right? And we read it up in Deuteronomy that the Lord didn't want them cooking. It didn't say that he couldn't eat on the Sabbath day. And these folks, they ate a dry breakfast. They went through the corn and they just ate it, right? They didn't stop and build a campfire and cook it and steam it and everything. They just ate. They ate a breakfast. And the Pharisees watched and waited and pointed their finger at them and said, Look, it's not lawful for them to do that. And that goes to show you, folks, that if you're following Jesus Christ, there's going to be people out there that are going to be looking to point the finger at you over every little thing that you do. And they're going to say, look at what that guy did. We don't have to listen to him. Look at what he did. He's breaking the law over here. Right? And so they're going to be ready to pounce on you and point that finger of accusation right at you. And that's just how people are. Especially if you're following Jesus Christ. Yes? And so Jesus here, he says to him, verse 3, this is what he's getting ready to do. He's getting ready to expose their hearts. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was a hungered and they that were with him? He says, this is what he's pointing, he's saying, hey, when's the last time you read your Bible, right? Here's a scary part. They are reading their Bible. Pharisees are reading the scriptures, right? But they're not perceiving what their eyes are seeing. They're not digesting it. They're not taking it in because their traditions are overthrowing the Word of God. And you find that in Acts 28. Acts 28. I'll go ahead and read that real quick for you. Acts 28, verse 31. Verse 26. Saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall not hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. They couldn't understand. They couldn't get what Jesus was telling them. The problem is they didn't have any heart for the Word of God. They had more heart for their own traditions and their own teachings, and they were a people of judgment. People of judgment, not a people of mercy. And so they couldn't see. They were blind. And Jesus here is referring to 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 6, when David was, the king was out to get him, was out to kill him. He's been rejected by the king, by the Jews, right? He's been rejected. And he's out on a run, and he doesn't have anything to eat. And so he goes into the temple, and he has to preach for showbread, right? That's what Jesus is referring to here. Just as David's been rejected, the Jews are rejecting Jesus Christ. And so Jesus was constantly on these people for not reading their Bibles. And you'll find that he asks these same questions, have you not read, about six times in six different passages, or six different, referring to six different chapters of the Bible in the Old Testament. Verse 4. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Well, yeah, we'll go ahead and stop there. We'll get into that next week. And we'll go ahead and pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would have a heart for them. And not as the Pharisees and the religious leaders of back in the day when you walked on the earth, Lord, that you saw with Israel. We pray that we would have a heart for them, but we wouldn't let our thoughts and our teachings and our traditions overthrow the Word of God. And Father, it's we need to take heed lest we fall. And we pray that we just take heed to that, Lord. And now we pray for the service today, that you'd bless them today and bless the folks here, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.